0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic lose 4-1 to Sporting Lisbon, but Camilo Duran gets his first goal for the club. Danilo gets set to leave Rangers, and could that free up space for more new players? And in the Premier Sports Cup, Aberdeen and Partick Thistle are some of the winners, but there are shock defeats for Dundee United and Falkirk. I'm Andrew McLean, joining me in the studio and dressed for the occasion in his Argentina top is Alex Ray.
Yeah, how are you, mate? I'm looking forward to the show tonight. Obviously, France go crashing out last night. Very impressive performance by Spain. And obviously, the big game tonight, Argentina versus England. And you rightly said there as well, some upsets in the League Cup as well. So, you know, plenty to talk about. We've also, you know, wheelings and dealings in the transfer market, possibles in and outs at clubs. So, a lot to discuss.
Yeah, across the Premier Sports Cup and then some friendlies for the teams that are in European action. It's when supporters get to see the first real glimpse of some of the new summer signings and what kind of impact they can make. We saw Camilo Duran come off the bench for Celtic last night and get himself a goal. We've seen the likes of Dan Neil and Lauren Shanklin wear the armband for Rangers across the weekend and then across the Premier Sports Cup. I mean, more debuts than you could care to imagine.
Yeah, listen, I think it's an important time for clubs. You know, you've obviously got the ones that are out there doing the friendlies, you know, Rangers, Celtic, Hearts, they'll all be doing the friendlies, and then you obviously have the cup games, and it's very early in the season. You know, you're trying to prepare whilst trying to get guys up to speed, trying to get the minutes, and I think that's one of the reasons why you're seeing cup shocks as well in the League Cup. And but everybody's trying to kind of get their players ready for the kickoff. You know, it's only a couple of weeks ago, away, and at the same time, you're trying to get wins, particularly in the League Cup, because obviously that will build momentum.
How are you feeling? Partick Thistle are gearing up for the season. Two good wins to kick things off in the Premier Sports Cup. Listen, 10 goals.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, the way they went about their business last night, particularly in the early stages of the game, you know, I think we were 3-0 after 15 minutes. And for me, there was a little bit of source of frustration as well, because you've so much territory and we created numerous chances. And you just want to be more clinical and push for more, and obviously we want to try and push the bar. But as I said earlier on, I feel like it's important to try and get minutes. We're trying to spread them about as well. There was a lot of debuts for younger players as well, so we're managing to get all that going. And you know, I think it's important just to keep ticking along. We've obviously got Livingston at weekend, and you know, I think that'll be a bigger challenge for us.
Big game in the World Cup tonight as well. Don't need to ask who you're supporting.
Well, listen, I've always had a soft spot for Argentina, going back to when I was a nipper, really.
I thought you were going to say, going back to Saturday.
No, going back to going back to the good
old. There'll be quite a few across Scotland that will have acquired Argentina tops in the last 3 or 4 days, I bet.
Yeah, listen, I got my first Argentina top when I was 9, so that wasn't yesterday, and I've managed to kind of bring my kids up as well. I just like the actual top. As I said, I've got a soft spot for it. But listen, if England go through, I wouldn't be too disappointed either. I've obviously got a lot of ties from down in England, spent 20 years of my life. My kids were born down there as well. So if they went through as well, then if it got to the final, I'd obviously want England to win.
Well, 141 951 1025. Maybe you want to look back on Celtic's friendly against Sporting Lisbon last night. What did you make of the team that started the game, some of the players that came off the bench? What about Camilo Duran? Did you like the fact that he came on and got his first goal in that friendly, Celtic fans? And where does Martin O'Neill need to strengthen next? He says that he's hoping that they will get some new players in the door. He says work is going on behind the scenes, so where does that work need to be done? Rangers fans, Danilo gets set to leave the club. It looks as if he's going back to Brazil, but who else maybe needs to leave, because it's looking quite a bloated squad for Derek McInnes' side. So is there anyone else that maybe needs to make way? And what about incomings? What next? Because they're having a few in the door so far, but who needs to come in next? Or maybe you were at a Premier Sports Cup game last night. We want the eyewitness account from you. Maybe you're a Partick Thistle fan. You want to speak to Alex Ray about those two wins that you've had over the last few days. Maybe you're a Dundee United fan. Things not going so well last night. Falkirk with a defeat to Ayr United. A good win for Aberdeen to kick things off. So 0141 951 1025 on the phones for whatever you fancy. Maybe you want to talk about the World Cup. I'm sure Alex Ray won't mind. He's certainly in the World Cup spirit. And this week on the show, we're giving you the chance to head to Glasgow Fair Family Race Day, AIR Racecourse, on Monday the 20th of July. We're giving away summer sizzler tickets. It's two adults and two children, and you'll get drinks and snacks from the cafe. It features seven races, there's live shows, there's family entertainment. And to enter, give us a call right now on 0141 951 1025. If you make it on air with your point, you'll be in with a chance of winning. It's over 18s only, and you can get all the T's and C's at Clyde1.com. So if you've got this Monday off, or you think you can maybe get it off work, you could be heading along to AIR Racecourse on Monday. Should be a good day out. But back to the football. Looking at the Celtic friendly last night, if you are a striker and you're coming on for your first appearance, I think the one thing that you want to do is go out and score a goal, and that'll be good for Camilo Duran, despite the fact that Celtic lost the game 4-1, that he's gone out and got himself a first goal, made a good first impression.
Yeah, absolutely. He looked sharp as well. I think he dispossessed the Sporting defender who got caught sleeping, really, and it was a good finish as well. He was composed and sort of slotted it into the near post.
It's quite Daizen Maeda-esque, wasn't it? The pressing on the defender.
Yeah, no, he was very sharp. And listen, I think he's obviously just in the door. They will be looking to try and get him up to speed, more minutes. As I said, you know, I think is it 2 weeks Monday that Celtic play? So they'll want to try and get more bodies in the door as well, I would imagine. You know, it's been very quiet in the Celtic front. Duran's in the door. I think they've been crying out for a striker, forward players for a while now. But he'll be pleased. Did he not initially have a cold or something that kind of didn't allow him to train initially? So
I think he was maybe ill. Was it the day before the game and didn't train?
So listen, I think that's a bonus that he's up and running right away. I think as a striker, you want to kind of get goals against a decent opposition as well. And it's interesting because I listened to Sean Maloney's interview a couple of days ago, and he was just talking about trying to get all these players up to speed. They've taken a lot of young guys out there as well. It's great exposure for them. And I think, Andrew, I just feel as if they'll be really working behind the scenes to try and get some bodies in to complement what they currently have.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Billy is a Rangers fan in Milton. Billy, what are you thinking tonight?
I think there's just, the decks have got to be cleared at Ibrox. I mean, you've got the likes of Jose Cifuentes coming back. I mean, you've got Ross McCausland to get ready. John Souter needs to go. I mean, he's slower than me and I've only got one leg. Just know, there's a few that's got to go out the door before they start signing any other.
I think there's sort of two reasons for that as well, because first of all, a manager having a bloated squad is not good for training sessions and that type of thing. But it's also the wage bill as well, because you need to balance that up. If you want to bring in new players, Alex, then you need to, you know, get some money out before you spend all the money that you possibly can. So Derek McInnes is probably more focused on the fact that he'll maybe want some players to go out to try and replace them with quality, whereas maybe the people upstairs at Ibrox will be thinking, well, there might be players on high wages. I imagine Danilo is probably one of those. If they can shift him, looks like he's maybe going to Botafogo in Brazil on an initial loan deal, then it maybe frees up wages that can be put into a different position.
Yeah, listen, it hasn't really worked for Danilo at Rangers. I think obviously got that bad injury he was there with when we were there. He's actually a very good finisher. He just didn't get the minutes required in the run, so it's never really kind of clicked for him at Rangers. And I think Billy's right. I think there's several players there who look as if they're going to be on the way. I think they'll try and get Cifuentes back out as well, Jose. And then McCausland, does he fit into the plans? Souter's been linked to one or two clubs in England, Leicester being one of them.
Were you surprised that he looks as if he's one of the ones on the way out? Because he was out of contract this summer, I think signed a new deal in February. I know the manager has changed since then, but certainly looked as if he was going to stay.
Yeah, no, listen, I think it was interesting. It was a large debate as well by the Rangers fans whether they wanted John to stay. Rangers decided to give him that added contract, and it seems as if he's surplus now. And Billy's right. The one thing, and one of the hardest things, particularly even in my time when I was at Rangers, is that you inherit players from previous managers now. It's clear that some of these guys will not feature. So it's up to like the director of football to move them on and try and place them somewhere. Now Danilo will be on, because I think he came for about £5.5 million, so he'll be on a substantial wage. And if they can free that up by I think he's going back to Brazil, so these guys, well, sooner rather than later, because you're absolutely right, because there's only a certain budget you work towards. I think they've, what is it, seven players already? Seven or eight?
I think it's six brought in so far.
Right, okay, six. So they've brought a fair number of players in who they've identified, and, you know, so when you're bringing guys in, then you have to free up places, because you're absolutely right, Andrew. The last thing you want is a 24, 26 men hanging about. You know, you want to kind of have a nice number so that you can get your training number sorted. You don't want to be give five or six guys that are not really going to feature, because it's not really nice on them that you're trying to get them placed so they can go and showcase what they can do.
Apart from the £6 million for Ivar Panderbilly, which I think was, you know, diluted slightly by the fact that Jack Butland went the other way for £3 million, there's not been, you know, that sort of massive fee yet. Do you think that Rangers are maybe waiting for players to go out to then do that? Or do you think it's maybe a case of just maybe the bigger players transfer later in the window?
I would agree with that. I think they tend to kind of transfer a wee bit later in the window. And I still think we'll get maybe one or two big signings. I mean,
what kind of positions would you expect those to be in, Billy?
Wingers.
Yeah.
Not see that. Yeah, listen, I think there's been a cry for that for a couple of years now. I see they were linked to a boy from America as well today, a defender.
Central defender, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously that's a position. If John Souter goes out, I would imagine that, you know, that would be something that we'd be looking at as well. So, as I said, I think, you know, there's been quite varied positions that the Rangers have covered this year. You know, throughout the team, they've got a couple of central midfielders and... would you get Devine and Devlin and you know, boy Dan Neal, so they boys can play there. Shanklin's up top, they've got a new goalkeeper, so they've been pretty much active throughout different positions. So again, if you free one or two up, then there's always that opportunity to bring some more players in.
Have you got any suggestions of wingers, Billy? Anyone you like the look of?
Aye, but it might be priced out or bracket. No, Riyad Mahrez is available on a free.
I think wages might be a bit of an issue there. I think he's just left whatever Saudi club he was at. I'm not sure. Not sure Rangers will be able to quite stretch to that.
Listen, I like Billy's thinking, by the way, because he's aiming high.
Got to be ambitious, you know.
Well, I think Cherny's been mooted as well. Yeah. He would, you know, the Rangers fans know
I think
know
he's
him.
Another that maybe, you know, wage wise could be a challenge, because the Turkish clubs do pay a lot of money. But you worked with him when you were in the Rangers backroom staff. Do you think that could be a good move if he became available at the right price?
Yeah, listen, I think the fact that he went to Turkey and the wages you mentioned there, the wages are quite substantial out there, but it hasn't quite worked for him. And I think they've got out and, you know, spent a right few quid on players. So, and that could be similar to the players that Rangers are trying to get out. I would imagine that the teams that Danilo are going to, or Cifuentes, then Rangers would supplement that. So, is it Beşiktaş, is that?
Yeah.
I would imagine if you approached him and says, listen, we will cover a certain percentage of that wage with a fee, then there may well be some sort of compromise that they, you know, you may get them a bit less.
Billy, how are you feeling going into this new season? I know it was a tough one to take towards the end of last campaign. Are you feeling a bit more optimistic? Do you need to see a bit more in the transfer window before you start having that optimism?
The optimism's there. I mean, it's just a different manager. Different set of players. I like Dan Neal, definitely Dan Neal. And Devlin, although he had a few yellow cards at Hearts, he might end up with a few red ones at Rangers, you know what I mean? The way we get treated, you know what I mean? So, and if it helps, you know what I mean? I'll drive Danilo down to Gatwick or Heathrow, wherever he's flying for.
I think it's time to go then, Billy, yeah?
Definitely.
Just on, you know what I mean? On Dan Neal. Sorry, Billy, I was just going to say to Alex, on Dan Neal and Lawrence Shankland, we had a bit of discussion on this last night. The two of them both wore the armband at different times at the weekend. Derek McInnes yet to pick a captain. Doesn't seem to be in too much of a rush to do so. Who do you think are maybe the standout candidates to take over that armband?
Well, it'll be interesting. I think if you, over the course of the summer, Derek has time to assess who he feels as if is going to play the most. Now, obviously, Shankland was a captain of Hearts. He showed leadership qualities. Dan Neal, no, that was interesting. I spoke to my old captain down at Sunderland because I wanted to get a bit more character kind of impression of Dan Neal. He says, Alex, his qualities are great. He's got real leadership qualities. He captained Sunderland and he's a great lad. That was pretty much what he said. So he would fit that bill as well. And you would imagine he would play as well because he's obviously played at a very good level. So I think between the two of them, you could get a, you know, you could get a, if you can go back to Monday, you'd obviously, you'd be captain, you're vice captain sort of thing. So, you know, that may well be an option as well, because one of them might play one week and not the, the following week. So there's an option to maybe do that.
Have you got any suggestions for the next captain, Billy?
Dan Neil. Absolutely.
Dan Neil, straight up.
Yeah.
Does it matter to you what position the, no, the captain is? No, because I know some people have a bit of a thing that they'd rather it's not the goalkeeper, or they'd rather it's not the striker. Are you not one of these? No.
Well, do you know an interesting thing? We're having this discussion the other day when I was in having lunch with the Thistle management team. And the goalkeeping coach, Big Kenny, says to us, he says, yeah, goalkeepers are brilliant. And I went, name one goalkeeper, right? And he's went Buffon and Neuer, and he's rhymed off all these kind of top goalkeepers. But for me, I prefer an outfield player. And yeah, so listen, I think, see the more captain types that you have in your team. So you've obviously got Dan Neil, who comes with a good pedigree of leadership qualities. Shanklin, Ross McCrory as well, will most certainly show leadership qualities. He's captain teams as well. So the more of these guys, you know, even if you look at wee Devlin in terms of the way he charges about and things, they show leadership qualities. Not necessarily get the armband, but they're driving the team forward. I think the more of these guys you've got in your starting 11, then the better chance you have of winning games.
It's been quite an obvious effort from Rangers to do so. It stemmed back to Danny Rule talking about it, saying they needed more leaders. Certainly kind of tailored their business towards that, guys that have either worn the armband or have been seen as part of leadership groups elsewhere. What can that add to a changing room? Have you been in changing rooms where there maybe haven't been too many of those leader types, and then been in other ones where there's been
without a lot? Yeah, without doubt. And I think it's interesting, because I think when you have good leadership qualities throughout the team, and then, and it doesn't, as I said to you, it doesn't necessarily have to be the captain. And then when you go back and people say the players police the dressing room, they set the standards and things, and that I wholeheartedly agree. No, even just with Rangers, I mean across the board. So the people who are in the dressing room drive the standards, the manager set them and then they drive it. And as I said, the more you do that, and if you look at it for years, Callum McGregor's been the standout one for Celtic doing that, Carter Vickers, Johnston. So you've got that kind of leadership across the road. So you know, and they're all still at Celtic as well currently. So the idea is that the more guys you've got like that, gives you a better chance.
Thank you to Billy. Let's hear more from you. Maybe you've got something to add to those opinions. Maybe you're a Celtic fan that watched on that 4-1 defeat to Sporting Lisbon last night. What did you see that raised some discussion? What about Camilo Duran coming on and getting his first goal? Maybe you're at a Premier Sports Cup game last night and you want to tell us how your team are shaping up for the season. 0141 951 1025. And before we take more of your calls, we're going to play this.
Oh, no.
Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
On these hour-long shows, it seems to catch every pundit off guard every single night. No matter how many times they're in, they always forget that A, they're playing Beat the Pundit, and B, that this is Beat the Pundit time.
No, no, and I wasn't even expecting that. I was thinking we're just going to this nice little break. I'll have some of my juice and then we'll crack on with the show, but now I'm panicking.
No, no, you've been put to work.
No, no, I know, I know. But the good thing is I won last week, so I can coast into this one.
Right, if you want to play Alex Ray, 0141 951 1025, give us a call now and you could be up next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are taking your calls through to 7 o'clock, so get them in right now. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you're a Celtic fan that was looking back on that defeat to Sporting Lisbon in a friendly last night. Maybe you're more interested in the fact that Camilo Duran got his first goal. Maybe you're looking for some more signings after he's the only one that's come in so far. Rangers fans, Danilo is set to leave. Maybe you want to talk about who else is set for the exit door, who else needs to come in, and we're looking back at the Premier Sports Cup games from last night. The likes of Aberdeen, Partick Thistle getting wins, Dundee United and Falkirk with shock defeats. So we'll take a look at those results, but we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You had a good 5-4 win, I think. Aye. It was last week.
It was a very tight game. I think the boy's name was Craig. So no, it was much needed.
wasn't as tight as last night's game. Richard Foster was playing for the first time. It was 3-3, right. Went to a tiebreaker. And the question was, basically, what is the combined capacity of all the World Cup stadiums, of all the ones that are being used in the World Cup this year? And I thought that was a pretty tough question.
I'll go for 300,000.
Right, so that makes me double down on the fact that I thought both answers were pretty astonishing. You've gone 300,000, right? The answer was, I think, 789,000.
Wow.
The caller went for 770,000 and Richard went for 800,000. They were both pretty close. And Richard ended up just winning.
Pipped it. Good on him, Barry. Pretty good going.
Right, is it going to be a tight game, Liam, in Cardiff?
Hello, Andrew. Hi, Alex. How are you doing?
I'm good, Liam.
Good, thank you. Do you fancy your chances tonight?
All day long, Liam.
I think so. Yeah, I've never played before, but I usually listen to it on YouTube when I'm doing my night shift at a supermarket. So yeah, I've been doing all right recently.
So you've had plenty of practice, and this is the time that you need to try and put it into work. See if you can do it when the pressure's on.
And I'm setting myself up for failure. What can possibly go wrong?
That's all right. Alex is doing the same.
Don't worry about that, man. Oof.
Right, we'll put something else in the ear of Alex Ray so he cannot hear us. And for you, Liam, you'll know the rules, but it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass if that helps you out. Is that all good?
Let's give it a go.
Let's do it. Name any team Rangers played at Ibrox in the Europa League last season.
Eintracht Frankfurt.
Celtic's Johnny Kenny spent last season on loan at which English side?
Pass.
How many major tournament finals have England played in?
Repeat the question, please.
How many major tournament finals have England played in, the actual final?
8.
Which Scottish side play at Recreation Park?
Pass.
Okay, we will bring in Alex Ray. Can you hear us, Alex? No?
Yeah, can now, yes.
You're back. 30 seconds for Alex Ray. Let's go. Name any team Rangers played at Ibrox in the Europa League last season.
Pass.
Celtic's Johnny Kenny spent last season on loan at which English side? How many major tournament finals have England played in?
1.
Which Scottish side play at Recreation Park?
Alloa.
In what decade did Kilmarnock last win the Scottish Cup?
2010.
Reebok sponsor which Premiership club?
Premiership. Pass.
How do you think it went, Liam?
I think Nair's got the better of me, unfortunately.
It's tougher when the pressure's on. Thought some tough questions in there tonight too.
Who is it? Reebok, Kilmarnock.
I mean, it is that question said sponsor, but it is obviously the shirt manufacturer we went. But we'll get to that.
Right,
okay. I knew
the answer to that one as well. Unfortunately,
did not get to it.
No, you didn't get that far. That's a spoiler of what's to come. Name any Rangers, any team Rangers played at Ibrox in the Europa League last season. You could have had Genk, Roma, Braga, and Ludogorets. Neither.
I was at that game, I know. Ludogorets.
Should have remembered.
I know.
But it was a 0-0. To kick things off, Celtic's Johnny Kenny spent last season on loan at which English side? I'd barely got the question out by the time that you said Bolton Wanderers. Liam didn't get it, so it goes 1-0 to Alex Ray. How many major tournament finals have England
3.
Played in? It is 3. Yeah, were you thinking World Cups?
World Cups, yeah.
Yeah, they were in the 1966 World Cup final and then Euros 2020, 2024. Yep. Could potentially make it to the World Cup final. Mm. We'll see what happens tonight, but remains 1-0 to Alex Ray. Which Scottish side play at Recreation Park? It is Alloa.
Wow.
Did you know that? Was that an educated guess?
Well, it's an educated guess.
Liam didn't get it. So it goes 2-0 to Alex Ray. In what decade did Kilmarnock last win the Scottish Cup? Liam didn't get that far on the question. So we know that it's at least a 2-0 win for Alex Ray. You got that question in. But it's the 1990s.
All right.
They won the Scottish Cup in 1997 against Falkirk. So it's still 2-0 to Alex Ray and Reebok. Hibs. They make the kicks.
I never knew that.
Hibs.
Yeah. I never knew that.
So it is a 2-0 win.
Fabulous.
Solid enough.
Nah.
I'd come back on, Liam. You might get one of you. Might get the Dazzler or something like that.
See once you get the first one out the way, Liam. Maybe that's it. You've had the pressure of the first one.
Yeah, I'll try again. I will try again.
Was it nerve-wracking, Liam?
It was, honestly, yeah. I was like, my hands are shaking. Like, I'm quite a nervous person. Like walking down the street, never mind phoning into the radio for the first time. But yeah.
Aye, call back.
Well, he had the confidence to phone in and take part And you know what? Next time, I'm sure he'll do better. Liam, who do you support?
Yeah, I'm a Jambo, unfortunately.
How are you feeling about this upcoming season? Obviously, a lot of change with Derek McInnes, Lauder Shanklin, Cammy Devlin away, but a lot of players coming in. You feeling like another title challenge could be on the cards?
I'm feeling optimistic. I think it's in our support at the minute. It's kind of it's a lot of doom and gloom, but I'm very much an optimist. So it's not great what's happened, losing so many integral figures, but all we can do is move forward. And I'm feeling optimistic. Looking forward to next Tuesday. So yeah, fingers crossed we can get a decent result out in Graz.
I suppose a lot of it is just putting your faith in Jamestown Analytics and the recruitment system that, you know, even though you lose your manager and you lose some key players, that they're going to be able to go out and sign some players. You know, players have been plucked from all sorts of different leagues, different nationalities. So is it just the kind of excitement to see who then stands out in the early stages of the season?
I think so. Yeah. I watched the friendly against Arbroath last night, and I thought Calvin Miller looked really good. And Renault, who's the French midfielder we've just signed, apparently he played quite well against Livingston at the weekend. So even though we lost the game, we got beat in that game. But yeah, I'm feeling confident. Who knows? I think it's going to be a big season for young James Wilson. I think he was didn't really benefit from our strikers like Shanklin and Braga having a really good season last year. I think he kind of like lost his lost his place in the team and didn't really get a shoe in, and then went down to Spurs. But he looks like he's come back from Tottenham an absolute different beast. So yeah, I'm looking forward to hopefully he gets a shout this season.
Yeah, there have been big changes at Hearts this summer. I wonder if that can be spun as a positive in a way, because there would have been quite a lot of scars from the end of last season, and with the manager or the captain, you know, Cammy Devlin, who was one of the influential players, with them leaving, kind of gives Hearts a bit of a reset. But it can only really be spun as a positive if the recruitment is good enough and the manager's good enough and it all clicks into place.
Yeah, it's been a tough couple of months for Hearts, you know, obviously losing their captain, their manager, and then obviously Devlin was pivotal in the middle of the park last season. I like the fact that you mentioned there Calvin Miller. I thought he would have been a real good addition to the Hearts kind of recruitment department that they've brought in. But obviously there's some guys that we don't know. They didn't pay seven figures for a centre-half from York.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was quite hit the million mark, but it was certainly up there. And there's been another, I think there was another signing. Was it Gündüz that came in for quite a bit of money as well? 850,000.
Well, I think you have to back Jamestown. Analytics, the way that they got Braga and Kazaridis last season as well, I think they were real standouts, and obviously going up in valuation as well. I think it's important for Hearts to try and retain these guys as well, because obviously they've lost some key people there, and I think they can be optimistic. You know, I think when you look at last year where they brought in the personnel, I just think that they can go there. The new manager will be looking to try and build something as well. Ideally, they'd probably like to have held on to Derek McInnes for a bit longer, but football's like that, it's fast moving. I think Falkirk would have wanted to keep Calvin Miller, so it's just a constant recycling, and you obviously have to get up and running early doors starting next week in Europe.
Well, thank you to Leo. Make sure you phone in at some point soon and give Beat the Pundit another bash. Let's go back to the phones. Davey is a Celtic fan in Paisley. Davey, how are you feeling?
Good evening, lads. I'm quite happy with what's going on. It's a Celtic situation. When he was come back in, they asked him back, and obviously when he was like, he knew what was, I'm glad he came back in, on board. Knows what's under the bonnet. I'm not telling me, he's not sad down with the Celtic board with the close season, and asked exactly, and told them exactly what he was wanting. I don't think, Martin Lee's a clever man, and I don't think if he took the job on again, not unless he was giving some guarantees, he could see the squad needed a rebuild season, and he knows the players. He's probably identified players to bring in. Again, we're 7 weeks after the season's finished. We've got 2 or 3 weeks to the qualifying Champions League, and the board's opinion, leaving the wheel again, it could cost the club £40 to £50 million. And as businessmen, why are they letting that happen?
Yeah, I mean, there was the the big, I was going to say warning sign, but it just went wrong last summer with Kaira Almaty, and yeah. Celtic didn't get the players in enough time for the Champions League qualifier, didn't get into the Champions League. We've gone on about it quite a lot this summer, but Michael Nicholson saying himself that, you know, lessons had to be learned.
Yeah.
That's now Celtic fans this summer will be looking to see if the lessons have been learned. So far, the evidence maybe isn't there to suggest that, but there is still time for Celtic to get players in before their Champions League qualifiers. But I think Celtic fans would just want to see a bit of movement in the next few days, certainly.
Yeah, listen, I think there'll be a source of frustration for everyone, not just the fans. I think Martin O'Neill will be looking to try and get bodies in as well. I think as a coaching staff, ideally you want to have time to prepare the shape that you want to play, get the players up to speed, because obviously if they come in the next week or two, you'd like to think, well, where are they in the fitness department as well? So I think everyone behind the scenes as well at Celtic will be trying to get one or two bodies in. I think obviously they've got a war chest really that they can go and get players. There's speculation about, you know, Engels, Maeda. So there's speculation. I think Itati will probably leave as well.
Is he the only player that didn't get on last night in a friendly?
I think it's fair to say that he's pretty much on the way out the door. But again, I think the Celtic do this very well with the cash in on players at the right time. Obviously, such a disappointing season for Hatate last season, because I think he's a very good footballer. I think he's actually showcased what he can actually do the previous couple of years. So that'll be a source of frustration that he's kind of fizzled out, really, because he's such a good player. But obviously, you want to try and go into this season keeping some of these guys that we've just mentioned there as well, because if you're trying to add 4, 5, 6 players and then you end up losing another 3, then obviously you're looking at 8 or 9 players to come in at Celtic. So, you know, time is pressing on, and I think there'll be a source of frustration the longer that goes on for Celtic fans. But, you know, I think without doubt they'll be most certainly working behind the scenes to try and do it, make that happen.
Where are the real emergency areas for you, Davey, that need to be sorted before the Champions League qualifier?
I've certainly seen the midfield, because it looks as though Big Engels is going to go, and we're kind of short in there as well. Up top, I've got one in, we need probably another. Doing my winger, I think the defence is not too bad, apart from the goalkeeping situation. Probably the other goalkeeper.
David, I think Martin O'Neill was on record as saying, you know, potentially, I'm not exactly sure what the quote was, but there was obviously a mention of Callum McGregor may well be, you know, kind of looking at a payday.
You there, Davey?
Yep, sorry.
No, we're just saying there about Callum McGregor. You know, obviously the manager was asked a question about Callum McGregor. Could he potentially leave Celtic? That would be a real blow for me, because I think he's been a driving force in recent years, Davey. Is that something, you know, you would want to try and keep Callum McGregor?
I don't know. Davey's maybe just not got an opinion on it. Are you there, Davey? Mm-hmm. Callum McGregor?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, got you now.
Celtic supporters, I think it's kind of split. A lot of people are saying he's lost his leg. I've got experience in the party and the way he conducts himself on and off the park. Plus, he's got leadership there as well.
How do you see it? He's still a pivotal player for Celtic, both on and off the park. How tough would he be to replace?
Well, listen, I think we said that when Scott Brown kind of hung up his boots at Celtic, then obviously Callum coming in, it was seamless.
He was kind of the natural successor. There's a problem that Celtic maybe don't have that natural successor.
Without doubt. And, you know, it's obviously a guy who knows the club very well and steeped, one of the most decorated players as well in Celtic's history. So when you factor that in, I think it would be a blow. But I understand the dynamics of a senior player. Maybe it could be a really, if it's Saudi that you're potentially going to, then that's life-changing stuff as well. So we'll have to sit down with him and see what his thoughts are. But I think he was on record as saying last year that Celtic have to fulfil his ambition as well.
I wonder if you look at the fact that there are quite a few Celtic players that their futures are maybe up in the air. And, you know, we've mentioned some of them so far, but Daizen Maeda, Reo Hatate, Arna Engels, there's been talk about Negrin. Callum McGregor, there's been talk about Negrin. People were talking about Alistair Johnson because of the World Cup that he's had. I wonder how that complicates things for Celtic and the Celtic staff, that if you're wanting to go out and buy players and strengthen the team, but, you know, that there may be bids that come in for players, you don't know exactly who's going to be there and who's not, and is it a lot to juggle?
Well, the good thing about that, Andrew, is you have players who have showcased in the World Cup, Negrin, and I thought Johnson was excellent. I thought he did really, really well. He looks as if he could kick on. So potentially he may well be. I think Martin O'Neill's on record in the last couple of days saying potentially they could come back for a Rojo. So the thing is, if you're bringing him in and you're keeping Johnston, then you've got
Colby Donovan and Anthony Ralston in there too.
So the thing is, you're really top heavy in the position. So as I said, I think they would want to keep Alistair Johnson. Yeah, Alistair Johnson. So yeah, they would want to keep him without doubt because again, he was a big miss in the early part of the season for them.
Well, thank you to Davey. 0141 951 1025. Keep your calls coming while I tell you this.
Clyde One. Make me a
winner. And you'll want to hear it because there is a huge £777,000 up for grabs on Friday's Make Me a Winner. Imagine bringing all that cash home. You can't win if you're not in, so get your place in the draw now for your chance to be the next lucky winner. To enter, text YES to 61025, text or 250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find all the rules for this network competition there, or you can call 03434 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only, and lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday when someone will win the lot. Just answer your phone. £777,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account in time for the weekend. So for your chance to win on Friday, text YES to 61025 now.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. So keep those calls coming. 0141 951 1025. There has been a new signing in the Scottish Premiership during the break, and it is a Motherwell defender. Jake Girdwood-Reich has signed from MLS side St. Louis City on a 3-year deal. He's a central defender. He is from Australia. I think he's an under 23 international, 6'1", 22 years old. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on under Alfred Johansson. And just a point on the previous caller, actually saw some quotes from Martin O'Neill. I think a previous caller was saying that, you know, Martin O'Neill would have sought assurances from Dermot Desmond over transfer activity. I think actually quotes from Martin O'Neill today from their training camp over in Portugal, and he was asked that question specifically about seeking assurances about transfer activity, and he said, "No, I didn't put anything at all. I just hope that we can do some business at the end of it all, but no, I didn't put any assurances. I can't turn around and say, by the way, you need to get me 12 players, and if you only get 10, then you've broken trust or something. So no, not necessarily. Maybe it's the fact that I know the owner of the football club for some time, and I genuinely believe that he'll come up and help when trying to get things over the line, let me put it that way." So he's just putting his faith into Dermot Desmond rather than, you know, sitting and saying
ultimatums.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, listen, I think that makes sense. I think the fact that he's known Dermot Desmond for a long time, I think even when you go back to his first stint at Celtic, he was very well backed, you know, when you think about Sutton, Hartson, Lennon, Petrov, they type of guys, you know, they were all costly additions, and I would expect him to be backed in this window as well. You know, even the fact that Duran is obviously the first one of, he will be hoping for a few now. But the fact is, they've paid about £5 million for this guy. So, the proof will be in the pudding come the end of the transfer window.
Derek is a Partick Thistle fan in Helensburgh. Derek, what did you make of that game last night? Were you at it?
I was indeed. It was wonderful. It is such an experience to go and watch the mighty Jags home and away. And I must applaud Mr. Ray and Mr. Volkson for the job they are doing at Thistle. They are doing a tremendous job, and I have to also put my hand on my heart and say, Mr. Barraclough, you're earning your wages.
Yeah, listen, thanks for that, Derek. I think it's important that we try and showcase what we can do as a team, as a club, and as a fan base. And I think what Mark's managed to do really well is he's pulled everyone along. He's managed to get a team that are united in the dressing room, and on the back of that, you get a couple of decent results, which has ultimately carried the fans as well, because I think there's a real unity there. I think even if you go back to a couple of weeks ago, we went to play Pollock.
And was it, I was there. I was
2000.
There.
No, I know you were probably, Derek. It was a great day, VD out as well. And it's interesting because I think these kind of fixtures, I think the League Cup pose different things. I've seen a guy on social media who has done 22 of the 40 clubs, so they're trying to work their way through all these various clubs supporting their team, and it's I did the post-match interview with the in-house media last night, and I just say it's great that so many turned up as well to give us a backing, and thankfully we got a couple of goals early doors and made it all worthwhile.
Pleased with the recruitment then, Derek?
I think the recruitment's fine. I actually feel sorry for Mark and Alec about how they're going to fit these players in with Aidan and Gary Mackay-Stevens, Ewan Henderson and Seb. I don't know how they're going to manage to play them all together, but
good problem to have, Alex.
It's a great problem.
I think that we identified that we also wanted competition within that. I think when you look last season, I think it was Fitzy and Logan Chalmers were our go-to guys. Stevie Lawless was there for the first part of the season, and then he moved on, and then obviously Dan Mackay. So we were very light in the wider areas last season. So we've obviously got four players now, and you know it feels great because it gives us so many different permutations and different profiles. So you know, in any given moment, we can mix it up a little bit and give the opposition a few problems. Hopefully.
Thank you to Derek. We'll leave that there so we can squeeze one more call in before the end of the show. Adam is a Rangers fan in Finiston. Adam, what is at the top of your mind when it comes to Rangers?
Yeah, just before I make my point, I just want to clear up last night. I was watching it and it was that strange noise at the end of the show. It was quite funny, but it was actually the noise from the game show Family Fortunes when someone got a wrong answer. I think that's what it was.
You won't have heard this, Alex, because you were preparing for a game last night, but in the middle of Richard Foster making a point, just randomly a noise played out that went, eh-eh. That was like, I've never heard it on Super Scoreboard before. I have no idea why it's on the soundboard. I have no idea how it got pressed, but it just made it look as if whoever is sitting on the production booth just didn't quite fancy whatever Richard Foster was saying, just didn't go along with it. Yeah. So you're clearly doing all right tonight because no one said it in the middle of you speaking.
No, I actually quite like the fact that noise can be filtered through here. I think that's brilliant because of the amount of things that we get wrong in here as pundits, then I'm sure that would come in handy. And Family Fortune, that was a weekly occurrence in my house as a boy growing up, so brilliant stuff.
Right, Adam, onto the football. What are you thinking?
Yeah, it's just the what does Alec think about Rangers? They think they're overloading the midfield with too many players, and you think obviously Barron and Raskin will go. I think definitely Raskin, but I don't know about Barron. So many midfielders need to go.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting because the one thing you don't want is you don't want a host of players in there and players are not getting minutes. I think Nico's had a really impressive World Cup. I think if you're going to cash in, and I said this last week, Adam, I think it's important that Rangers start to cash in at the right times. Not when it's, you know, as a business, I think it's important to try and cash in when they're at the peak. You know, you go back a couple of years ago and obviously Morelos left and Kent left on the back of that Europa League run and end up leaving for nothing. For me, that's negligent because the fact is that you want to cash in, which allows you to then go and reinvest in the team and it keeps things going right as opposed to doing share options and things. So if you can become a selling club, but being successful in the meantime, and you're right, there is a real overload in the middle of the park. And I think you really need to balance that correctly because you just don't want four guys that are very similar as well, you know, if you think about the personnel they have there.
Well, thank you very much to Adam. We'll have to leave that there because we are close to the end of the show. Just need to touch on the fact that there is a big World Cup semi-final tonight. The big question is, are England going to win?
Oh, no, you got it in, brilliant. I was going to say, listen, it's a win-win for me tonight, as I said. If Argentina go through, I'll be really happy because I've supported them since I was a wee boy. And then obviously England go through, then I'd be relatively happy, having spent 20 years of my life down there. So
That's not the talk of someone that's sitting here wearing an Argentina top.
No, listen, as I said, it's a win-win. I can't go wrong tonight. And but just before we go, I'd like to congratulate big Tony Watt on the birth of his boy.
Absolutely. Congratulations to Tony and his partner.
Life's not going to be the same again, mate. It's all downhill from here.
He's been right into his golf recently. That is gone. Absolutely gone. His handicap is going to be shooting miles
absolutely,
up
yeah.
now. But yes, congratulations to Tony and his partner. I'm sure everyone is happy and healthy from what I've heard. So that is very, very good. Right. Thank you very much to Alex Ray. Thank you to you at home for getting involved on the phones, listening on the radio, watching on the live stream.
Yep.
And yeah, we'll be back tomorrow night. We'll see what the World Cup semi-finals have in store. Going to be an interesting game between England and Argentina. Maybe there is going to be some interesting transfer news developing over the next day or so. But as I say, I'll be back tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, and it's going to be Callum Gallagher that's up next.